From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, we are delighted to be on the air as a result of those who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Mark. He's listening in Anderson, Missouri. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I had a question about, I'd heard a message on the radio about the parable of the mustard seed. And this man described the mustard seed as the true church, and as it grew into the tree, that it became the false church. And I'd never heard it mentioned like that before. I'd always preached it that it, you know, and I'm a pastor, that you can grow into something great where people can, you know, find rest in you. I don't know how you see that, and I was wondering if you could kind of give some insight on that parable, and I'm going to get off here and listen to you.
Thank you. What is going on in the parable is fairly simple. On one hand, it's complex on the other, and I'll explain why in a moment, but the germ of what's going on is Jesus using the smallest of seeds familiar to Palestinian farmers to illustrate that while the kingdom of God began in obscurity, in the end it would fill the earth and it would endure forever. You'd never want to take a parable and try to make it walk on all fours, nor do you want to take a parable and read into the parable a meaning that was not intended by the author, particularly when the author of the parable in view is the crystal Christ himself, the paragon of virtue. And the truth communicated by the parables of Jesus was not evident to all who heard them, both in the immediate context, in other words, in the first century, nor to those who hear them in the 21st century. In fact, the listener has to have spiritual ears, and then they'll have some degree of understanding as to what's going on in the parables. Remember, the mission in the Old Testament was to open the eyes of Israel to the acts of God, and in the same way, the parables in the New Testament open the eyes of those in the first century, and again vicariously today, to truths that lead them to produce the fruit of righteousness. And Jesus takes the parables and he relates them to aspects of the kingdom, speaking of the Father through vivid stories. And through those stories, making it plain that we too are co-consummators in the kingdom. And that's precisely what's going on with the mustard seed. Because here you have just a few disciples at the time of Christ who will eventually become a great multitude, the full complement of God's people from every tongue and nation, from every place on planet Earth. But you also have a strand within the parable that is alluding to a deeper truth, and that is the faith that enters our heart, small when it enters, but eventually as we partake of the means of grace available to us, that small seed takes over our being. So there are rich strands of truth in parables like this, but we must never read into the parables meanings that the parables were not intended to have. And again, this requires men in the pulpit, teachers in every walk of life, to use discernment skills. How do you use those discernment skills? We learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. You partake of the graces of God, and as you do, you are filled or illumined with truths that Christ has communicated in His Word. But we never go beyond what He has communicated. Derek, next in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Derek.
Yes. Hi, Ron, Hank. I'm so grateful for your program. Yes, I have a question that has been bothering me for a while now. It's all about the end time, right? Because the Bible said this gospel is going to be preached in every corner of the earth. Then comes the end, right? But what I want to understand, how is it going to be like for those that didn't hear the gospel and perish and die? So how are they going to be judged?
Well, the truth of Scripture is always the same, and that is that we are judged according to the light that we have given. And the truth that we embrace as Christians is that while God dwells in obscurity on the one hand, He also dwells in light. In other words, if we search after Jesus Christ, we always will receive the light that is necessary. And I've said this many times on the broadcast, but the quintessential example, I think, comes from Nicodemus. Nicodemus is asking Jesus Christ questions, and in the context, Jesus is telling them that light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The point being that the problem is never that there's not sufficient light. The problem is that men despise light, and because they despise light, they do not receive further light. As long as we respond to light, we will receive all the light that is required to have fellowship with God. Now, you go to the Old Testament, and there were saints like Abraham that did not have the kind of light that you do in the present. He saw, as it were, through a glass dimly. Today, we have the requisite knowledge that he did not have, but he was a friend of God because he responded to the light that he had, and he worshiped the coming Christ through types and shadows. Now, Christ has come, and we worship the reality of Christ who has come. And again, we have, as believers, a light that is greater than all other lights, but it is because we've responded to other light. We've responded to the light of creation. We don't take the sun and make it our God, but we recognize that there was a God who created the sun. We also do not dismiss the light that God has placed on the tablet of our consciousness. We respond to it. And thus, when we do, we receive further light. So it's never the absence of light that damns, it's the despising of light that damns. And that's why Paul could say, when he was on Mars Hill, that from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of them. Which is to say that if people respond to the light that they have been given, and that light is voluminous. Just imagine every single day we see God's created handiwork, and then we have that inner knowledge. If we respond to that, then God will reveal himself. If we reject it, then we reject it because we don't want light. We despise light, as Jesus said to Nicodemus.
Most of our people, they were illiterate. So, like, I'm still, like, it's kind of like, because there should be something. I don't know, but thanks for the explanation. For me, I grab it, but I was just a little concerned about those that with less education, like how can they really understand there is a goal? How will they really, like, what some of the things that will convince them that, you know, for like Abraham, God, like God spoke to him, right? God showed himself to him and told
right.
him to leave your parents.
Sure.
Or whatever those that God did not talk to them.
But God does talk to them. That's the whole point, Derek. I mean, the point is that God does talk to them, and he speaks to them through the still small voice within, as well as the blazing lights above, as I just mentioned. But the other thing that we have to remember is that God in his grace sends to those who are open to the light that they have received, he sends in his grace further light. It could be a light that comes from you, Derek. It could be from a missionary. It could be from God's unique special revelation to someone, as Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. That is not our duty to understand. All we can understand is that God, if we truly trust him, that God will reveal himself to those who pant after him as a deer pants after the water brooks. That we can be certain of. Although we don't have all the answers right now, we can be certain that if people genuinely search after light, God is not going to throw obstacles in their way. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the ministry. Be right back.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through his people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
www.bibleanswerman.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. A quick plug for the CRI support team. And notice today as I was personalizing books to people who joined the support team, that many of them did that as a direct result of listening to me on the radio. And I would encourage many more to join that support team. It is the foundation that allows this ministry to reach around the globe. We have had some pretty dreadfully low-income months. And the way that we can overcome these kinds of things is people joining us, standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I do want to mention, though, in fairness, that I've been doing this for 30 years. And while sometimes I become alarmed, I have 30 years of history to go on. And I can go back and say that every time we have prayed diligently and we've been faithful in our work, the Lord supplies through someone. And so I believe that this will happen again. Sometimes my faith flags. It should not after all this time, but I am unfortunately a mortal sinner like all others, and sometimes my faith is not all it should be, and I become alarmed and concerned. And I know that this is not an alarm or concern that I want to carry on by myself, and so I share it with you. And if you're one of God's people that has some of the resources of the Lord that you can invest in the ministry, it would be deeply appreciated. But never give to get. Give because you want to invest in the kingdom for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And of course, in both of those places, you can say, I want to join CRI's monthly support team. And when you do, be pleased to personalize my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, equip.org, the quickest way to get the resource and to join the CRI support team. You can also talk directly to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Stanley, listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Stanley.
Thank you so very much for your show. I've been reading, like, in certain places of the Bible, and particularly John 14:26, where it talks about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father said in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I said to you. Sometimes I think I hear God's voice in some things, and I don't always do right. Do you make mistakes? I do. I don't always know what to do. And sometimes when I think I know what He's speaking in my heart, sometimes it's not right. There should be some kind of alarm or something that goes off in me. Shouldn't it?
Well, I think so. You know, here's the thing. First of all, in answer to your question, do I make mistakes? Absolutely, I make mistakes. But I would tell you something. The Christian life has never been a life that you lead by yourself. It's not a lone ranger enterprise. You do it within a community of faith. And within the community of faith, there are spiritual counselors. They're like a physical trainer might be when you're exercising physically. And those counselors give you wise counsel. I've also learned that God moves through people and circumstances, including your wife, if you're married. So I'm constantly talking things over with my wife, praying about things with my wife, and as a result of that, both of us yielding ourselves to God and to the body of Christ, we end up getting good counsel that oftentimes after we've made a decision, we're so surprised at how fantastic everything worked out, but then we think, well, this is no happenstance. It is because we have really made this together a matter of prayer. We have been in our own prayer closets, but we're also in unity with the body of Christ so that we can, again, get good, wise counsel from people who know our circumstances and who care about our lives. So, bottom line, God moves through the body of Christ through people and through circumstances. And when we are being filled with Christ, which means when we are partaking of the graces that God gives for us to partake in so that we might be partakers of the divine nature. When we're in that process, then we are going to hear the voice of the Lord with a whole lot more clarity than when we're off on our own doing it our own way.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And again, wonderful that you brought up John chapter 14, those fantastic words, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Of course, who is in view there? Jesus says, "I have spoken to you while being present with you." He was speaking to the disciples. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." So we have the disciples, and they have a legacy and a heritage, which we have in the Word of God, but they passed it on to faithful people who have passed it on right down to this generation. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Benny in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Benny.
Hi, sir. I listen to the program from time to time, and I find it very interesting as well as intriguing. The question that I have is that I've been struggling with drugs and alcohol since I was a teenager. And for the first time, I'm 56 years old, and for the first time, I've got what I feel like a little substantial amount of sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is like for, you know, going on like 3 years and a little over 2 months. That's the most sober time that I've had. And all of this time, Hank, I've been trying to get it through the church. And to me, it seemed like the church, and any ones I've attended a lot, and they prophesied on me, they prayed over me, they put oil on me, and et cetera. And I found myself back in my old ways in a very short time. And the question that I have, I guess it's a two-part question, because I do still read my Bible every morning, but I didn't start sobering up until I stopped going to church. And that is, to me, that's kind of backward, don't you think?
Well, not really, because, you know, what's interesting about this is that that may have been your experience, but what you have done is precisely what a healthy, well-balanced church would advise you to do, either give you the context in which to do it or tell you to do it within a context. And you have gone to a context where you actually are required to be accountable, and you start learning principles that will lead you out of the state of alcoholism to the state of sobriety. So you have done an absolutely wise thing. And you're right. I mean, this is unfortunately the truth in many churches that you go to. They're looking for easy solutions. You know, so we're going to pray over you. We're going to cast the demon of alcoholism out of you and whatever. But that's not how anything works. I mean, the Christian life is a life of discipline. And that's what you're learning. And that's why you've experienced sobriety. So the problem is not with the church in general. The problem is with specific churches that are looking for cheap solutions to very deep-seated problems. And quite frankly, there are no magic bullets. You know, from practical experience, we know when you don't exercise a whole lot, things happen to your body. You're not as strong athletically. I mean, your physical abilities start to diminish. I know that for sure because I was playing my son in a golf match this weekend, and he just absolutely, well, he's way better than I am now anyway. But, I mean, he just trounced me, and I was just thinking that the difference between him and me was partially because I haven't been exercising my body, and when you don't do that, the body atrophies. And I mean, I can go to a faith healer and say to the faith healer, you know, dab some oil on me, and suddenly I'm going to be able to, you know, hit the ball 300 yards again. No, it's going to take stretching exercise. It's going to take discipline. And that's precisely what you've experienced. And I think that's fantastic, but you do not want to say, well, the one worked and the other didn't, and therefore the one's good and the other isn't good. Well, what's not good is a church that's not healthy and well-balanced. But what is important is that you find discipline within the context of the body of Christ as well.
Wow. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. And a lot of these churches, man, they seem like, you know, there's some of them, I've had experience with pastors that kind of felt that their inadequacy to help me, you know, and they just lash out against the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was back and forth. So I've learned and I'm learning, and even if I find me a church to attend, is to not bring the Alcoholics Anonymous program to church, and then as well as not bring, because it works good when I don't go and preach about church in AA as well. So it's kind of tricky, but I'm doing pretty good, and I have no desire to drink a drug anymore, but I just find it funny that I've done it without my childhood faith. My dad was a pastor and my mom was a missionary. But, you know, hey, and I just...
You know what's interesting, though, Benny? I'd love to talk to you forever. I'd love to meet you someday. But, you know, what's interesting is that the 12-step program actually had their genesis in Christian principles like conviction of sin and conversion and confession and prayer and witness. And now they're being applied in a more pluralistic sense, but it does not mean that those principles have ever been diminished in terms of their effect. Hey, appreciate you calling, and God bless you. Thank you for those that make this broadcast possible by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.